Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Advent, my favorite time of the year. It is also the first Sunday of our new church year. Important, they are still selling stuff downstairs. So please go down there and spend some money. Get all your good Christmas presents. There's some nice stuff left. We are blessed to have DC is going to be helping us light the Advent candles. Haley and Jack, Ryan and Tyler, we welcome you to church. It's great to have you here helping us through this. There is a meditation in the back of our bulletin, and I hope that in your free time you read it and think about it. We're going to do that each week of Advent, so it gives you a little something to take home with you so you can read it in your spare time. There is a new men's study, which is on Fridays. It's at 8:30. There's a light breakfast, and then there is a study afterwards. So we welcome, we're doing Andy Stanley, Who Needs Christmas, is what we're doing right now. We had about 8 or 9 people Friday, so it was a good start. So does anyone have anything else they would like? Lauren.
I just want to thank everybody for coming.
Absolutely.
What a beautiful survey. And we even had people come back and want to buy more because they had some and they were so good.
Tried to buy the ones that everybody takes because I know I can eat the other ones in the upcoming weeks. Thank you. Does anyone, please?
Can I go first?
Oh, do you want the?
Sure, I'll take the mic.
Take the mic.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
So our Women Ministries outing to the Scandinavian Gift Shop is coming up this coming Saturday, the 3rd. We're meeting here at 10 o'clock. We're carpooling. If anybody wants to go and the cost of lunch presents an obstacle to you, please see me because we don't want anybody to miss out. And the same goes for our Women Ministries Christmas party with the grab bag. If that's a problem, please let me know and I would be glad to help you with that. And our Christmas party is on Wednesday the 7th at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall, and it's going to be so fun and I can't wait. So I hope you can join us. Thanks.
I want to mention that Sunday, December 18, during the morning worship service, is our Christmas program. And if you came early this morning, you could see organized chaos. We were practicing, and I think it's going to be a really wonderful program. And then after the program, we're having a potluck lunch with a Scandinavian theme. So it's a planned potluck, so see me, and you can sign up for either Swedish meatballs or anything Swedish I have on my list.
Now, so, is it a casserole or is it a hot dish? What is it?
It's going to be
a hot dish.
A hot potluck.
All right.
A really hot potluck. Okay.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything I'd like to share this morning?
Gary.
Yo, Brenda. Too much obstacles.
Nobody puts bread in the corn.
Nah.
This is for missions. We're adopting a family, so there's going to be a sign-up sheet. We need gifts for 2 boys and gift cards for the whole family, so it will be downstairs if anyone's able to help us. Thank you.
That's outstanding. And Ruth, I know you have something about the meeting next week.
Oh, yeah. So next Sunday, right after worship, we will have a brief congregational meeting to vote to select members for the search committee. And we're being really brave and trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us. I have a list of people who have told me that they do not want to be considered for the committee. And after that, whoever the Holy Spirit puts on your mind to vote for, you'll be allowed to vote for. You will be voting for seven people. And the seven that get the top votes, they will be consulted to be sure that they really are willing to serve. And then, so we will not know the results at the end of the meeting. At the end of the meeting, we will have two people whom we trust to count the ballots. And then they will consult the top people to see if they're willing to serve. And then we will be told about it later. Okay? So be praying who you might vote for. Be praying, because we're asking the Holy Spirit to guide us in this really monumental thing. Thanks.
Okay. Let us stand now for our introit.
Candle in the darkness helps us find our way. In darkness we lose direction. We cannot see where we have been or where we are going. A single candle flickering brightly helps us find our way again.
Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Light one candle, see it glow brightly, so that all may know how one candle shows the way, making our darkness bright as God's day.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Dear God, on this first Sunday of Advent, let this light shine brightly as the days grow shorter, so that we will be ready for your face to shine upon us at Christmas. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.
This week we celebrate and gave thanks for all our many blessings, for our country and family, our church, our friends, and more. We gather together this morning to thank you, to praise and to worship you. Advent has arrived. We gather celebrating your will for us and Isaiah's prophecy of a divine child to come. We lift up our hearts in love and adoration and praise for your greatness, in your amazing gift of Emmanuel, God with us, your Son, Jesus Christ, in who through darkness and without fear we can endure all things when our hope is centered on the one who will never fail us, our Savior, the light of the world, and in whose name we join together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's on page 550. the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The gospel reading is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, on page 806. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
types of songs up here. We sing the songs of praise. We sing songs that are basically memories. We sing. I think the best songs we sing are the ones that are like this. They're just a reminder, like Thanksgiving, of what God does for us and how thankful we are. They're very, very simple songs. Just saying, God, this is who you are. And all we can do is just give praise for that. So, you know, it's a very simple song. Please sing it with us.
Find Christ in all scriptures. In the Old Testament, he is predicted. In the Gospel, he is revealed. In Acts, he is preached. In the epistles, he is explained. And in Revelation, he is expected. I love the selfish side of Christmas. I love the Christmas hymns and the decorations. Get-togethers with family and friends, the smell of a fresh-cut tree, and colored lights hanging everywhere. And oh, lots and lots of cookies. I want Christmas to last 8 weeks. I want lots of snow. I want record numbers on Christmas Eve and Yuletide. And I want to give a sermon, the best sermon ever, better than Andy Stanley could ever give. But that's not reality. That's not really what's important to me, and most definitely not what Advent or Christmas is about. And I know truly in my heart, I know that, and I know that you know that. Advent is a special time that we use to prepare ourselves, our hearts, and our church for the celebration of Christmas. When we remember that Jesus emptied himself of his power and glory and became one of us, sharing fully in our humanity so that we could share in his divinity. We anticipate the arrival of the Messiah on two levels. First, we seek to place ourselves in the historical shoes of Israel as they waited for centuries for the arrival of the Messiah. As we sang earlier in the hymn, O come, Emmanuel, with its lyrics, ransom captivity Israel, ransom captive Israel, and who mourns in lonely exile here. We remember our forebears as they awaited the arrival of God's anointed. And on the second level, we anticipate Christ's second coming. What the New Testament writers Matthew and Paul said, his parousia, his arrival, the original word for Advent, and a word that will be important to us today and in the weeks going forward. This time of year, I love to rely on the Gospels to bring me back to the core of Advent and our treasured Christmas truths. I ask you this morning to set aside all your man-made wants for Christmas and take the time that you needed to allow yourselves to become submerged and grounded in God's Word, soaking in the Scripture, feeling the darkness of Advent explode in his light as Christmas Day arrives. Our scripture pages this morning during Advent, in addition to keeping our feet grounded in the here and now, move us kind of in a fast-forward way into the conclusion of all of history and the coming of God's realm in all its marvelous fullness. In short, Advent is a season that invites us to think seriously about the meaning of time. Time and how we use it. Time is a precious gift from God, which gives us an opportunity to live as people of hope, peace, joy, and love. Our Advent Old Testament scripture foretells the coming of a Messiah who has not yet appeared. The New Testament passages, on the other hand, not only presuppose a first coming, but look forward to a second. Today's Old Testament scripture is from the prophet Isaiah, one of the most hope-filled passages in all of the Bible. This Isaiah passage is full of gospel hope. It's written by Israel's most upbeat and inspired prophets. Although we don't know much about Isaiah, according to Bible commentary, we have reason to believe that Isaiah was a court prophet, since his call was in the Jerusalem temple. He lived in the 8th century before Christ and was a contemporary of prophets Amos, Hosea, and Micah. The situation at the time of Isaiah wrote this prophetic oracle was hope. It was rather somber. After the superpower Assyria had successfully invaded and occupied northern kingdom of Israel, Judah in the southern kingdom feel vulnerable. They feel threatened by the Assyrians. And they appear to have been some of Judah where they're advising Judah to align with other countries. And it's important that Isaiah is telling them, no, you have to stand firm in God. God is telling me that there's a lot of good coming to you if you just stay firm. And they kind of go against what he is suggesting. He advised Judah to remain on its own, to rely solely on the Lord God. And if they did, he would protect them and preserve them. They are the chosen people. And if they remain faithful to him by keeping the covenant, in the midst of all their anxiety and their despair, he preached a vision of a much brighter future for them. If we take a moment and we look around, it's fair to say that the world really hasn't changed that much since the days of Isaiah. Nations and nations, or especially the superpowers, are threatening to dominate the world by calling the military shots, both militarily and politically. They're holding the poorer nations in captivity. Smaller nations feel vulnerable, just like Judah did. It's precisely the situation of anxiety and despair that a vision of hope is needed. A vision of hope is required and reminds us of our deepest need to place all of our trust and security in the Lord our God. Isaiah is correct. The ultimate hope is in the Lord our God, not military and political. Isaiah then goes on to provide us with clues as to what this hope in the Lord would look like. He has a vision for the future of God's master plan. The first thing he states that it shall be centered in Jerusalem, which Isaiah calls the mountain of the Lord's house, the house of God of Jacob and Zion. All of this refers to Jerusalem, and which shall become in the days ahead the days of the Messiah, spiritual and political center of the world. Notice that Isaiah uses the word highest to emphasize the supremacy of Jerusalem against all other mountains and hills. Then he tells us that Jerusalem is destined to be such an attractive place that all nations shall come and make their pilgrimage to the dwelling place of the Messiah. And then the prophet Isaiah goes on to state that the reason for the nations gathering in Jerusalem, that they shall come in order, that the Messiah may teach them the ways to walk in the right path. In other words, there's an expectation that the Messiah has something wonderful for them, wonderful for all peoples. Along with the expectation, there's an openness and a receptiveness to learning from the Messiah. Jeremiah says that the Lord at the time shall put law within them, and I will write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another. They will know the Lord, and they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sin no more. Thanks to the saving work of God, everyone who is instructed shall be able to benefit from the instructions and now walk in the right path. Isaiah continues on, for out of Zion shall go forth instructions, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The English word instruction actually refers to the law, the Torah. When the Messiah comes, he will teach the meaning of Torah to everyone. Everyone will be made clear at that time. I mean, just think of that. All your longings, all your questions, everything that bothered you, everything you wanted to know about the Bible, everything that made Christ will make clear for you. And all the questions will either be answered or they will no longer be necessary. No more stumbling around in the darkness. No more living with doubt. All shall be revealed. And in this hope-filled future where Christ shall teach and reveal all things to us, Isaiah goes on to state that another role for the Messiah shall play is that of judging between the nations. He will make everything clear. He will make everything just. He will be fair. He'll do this with love and mercy for everyone. This is the case because in the same breath, Isaiah proclaims one of his most popular phrases, and we all know this one. It's filled with hope and promise. It is a message of universal peace for all nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against another nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. In other words, war has become obsolete. It no longer exists. It shall be unlearned by all people, and weapons of destruction will be turned into tools for life and for peace. Unfortunately, our world today seems to be ever increasing a violent and hopeless place in which to live, not only around the world, but we see closely, just last week, the little baby was killed. Peace in places like Russia and Ukraine and the Middle East, they seem so far away. It almost seem like a pipe dream that it'll ever be a peaceful world. Should we remain hopeful, even though the daily news is rather despair and cynicism? Well, Isaiah's answer to this is a resounding yes. There is much in the world to convince us to not have hope for the future, but that as people of faith, we are given a glimpse into God's master plan. We know what it's going to be like. We know it's a future filled with hope. The world and the church that God loves so much was and is and never shall be in God's hands. God and his Messiah Jesus shall one day fulfill the wonderful prophecy of hope and Isaiah proclaimed so long ago. May we as people of faith keep proclaiming and living God's message of hope for ourselves and for the whole world. But what does it mean to be people of faith, Christians? It means to look to the light, to continue to practice a profession of faith in the light. Even when the world is wrapped in dark night and darkness, said Pope Francis just last August, he spoke about hope found in Christianity, especially in our baptism, which orients us towards the light of Christ. Christians are not exempt from darkness, eternal or even internal. They do not live out of the world, however, because of grace of Christ received in baptism, they are men and women oriented. And he concluded, they do not believe in darkness, but in the light of day. They do not succumb to the night, but hope in the dawn. They are not defeated by death, but they want to resurrect. They are not bent over by evil, because the ways confide in infinite possibilities of good. And our Christian hope, the light of Jesus, the salvation that brings Jesus and his light that saves us from the darkness in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Lord wants us filled with hope, not just because it points to a brighter tomorrow, but because it changes the quality of our lives today. Hopelessness may be the saddest word in our language. Despair is the enemy of our souls. It can paralyze us. It halts our progress, and it causes many of us to lose our way. But hope awakens us like a light shining in the darkness. We can endure all things with hope, and it's centered in the one who will never fail us, our Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Well, how do we develop hope? How does a person venture out into the darkness day after day, into a world without fear, where there's no guarantees of their safety? Well, we endure all things when our hope is centered in the one who will never fail us, the light of the world. All who accept and direct their lives towards Jesus will receive his light. Doubt will flee, because light and salvation is in the Lord. And Paul said to Romans, now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. I pray that each of us this week and in the upcoming weeks will seek this free gift of hope so that we may be filled with joy and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, our Creator, Like other Christians around the world, we lit a candle this morning of hope. Hope to guide us through the darkness in our lives, a hope in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as we gather to learn more about him and re-examine our lives in his light. May we be open to the challenge, ready to confess our shortcomings, trusting in your mercy, seeking forgiveness, and in him finding comfort and hope in a new life. Some of us come with worries, burdens, struggles, and fears. Darkness has, or we have allowed, a darkness of doubt to worm its way in. Crush this doubt and fill us with your light. Some of us are concerned about health, our own or that of another. Take hold of our concerns and fill us with your light of healing. We lift up Rogine and George and Chipper and Carolyn, Harriet, Lauren, and Dave. I open it up now for your prayers. Father God, there's so many prayers that we have that are said and those that are unsaid. Father God, I pray that you listen to all of our prayers. In this season of preparation, may we discover the promises that you are with us each and every day. You will be guiding us through whatever our troubles are. And you are very real. It's in Christ's name that we pray and we join together. And it is this time that we're able, Lord, to give back to you. Give back for all the blessings that you have given us, Lord. In your name we pray today. Amen. Father God, we come today, the first Sunday of Advent. We come with open hearts and open minds. We pray for your guidance and protection in the coming weeks, Lord, as we await the arrival of your Son, our Savior, Lord. We put our gifts before you, thanking and praising you, Lord, for for the work that has provided for this and the money that has come in and that we're able to give back. May you guide us to open our hearts to even those more that need it. Let us see who they are, Lord. We praise you and thank you this day, Lord. Amen. Benediction found on the back of your second page of your hymnal, of your bulletin. Take time in the busyness of this season for quiet reflection, for the light of God's love is discernible everywhere.
We will let ourselves be surprised by wonder and set aside time to offer quiet thanks.
The good news of Advent is this. Christ is coming. Christ is always coming.
We will welcome.